The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
I want to talk about the EU's Food Safety Agency because they've given the green light to eating worms, no less, saying they can be used as a protein-rich snack or as an ingredient for other foods. Well, Dr. Cara Augustenberg, the Environmental Policy Fellow at UCD, is on the line. Cara, I understand you have worms.
That's a lovely way to put it, Kieran. I actually tried some worms and some crickets today so that you didn't have to. So I took it for the team.
Oh, my God. So when you say, before we talk about what they might taste like, when you say worms, I mean, are we talking like the wriggly things I find in my garden?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, these are mealworms that they're talking about here for the European Food Safety Authority. They're much smaller. They're the kind of worms you would feed maybe if you had a turtle or a protein eating fish. They're very small worms, very crunchy, can be served roasted or mixed into a smoothie. And the EU was also looking at things like crickets. All of these fall under the idea of edible insects. And, you know, we know that the plant-based and alternative meats industry has grown enormously over the last decade, and edible insects are part of that because they're very protein and vitamin rich, and they can serve as an alternative source of protein.
So these mealworms, like, can you find them in Ireland, or do you have to go to a special shop to buy them?
You tend to have to go to specialty shops or order them online. So I found a UK-based company that sold all of these crickets and worms and flour made out of crickets. So I have done some baking with cricket flour in the past, which is actually quite tasty. Or you can buy these kind of unblended and just as sort of freeze-dried insects, and you can roast them and mix them into salads or season them with salt and vinegar and use them as a snack. I mean, a third of the world eats insects on a daily basis. So this is not new to other parts of the world, though it is obviously something we don't do in Europe.
Yeah, maybe there's a good reason we don't do it, though.
Well, the reason actually is because we don't tend to have a lot of large insects like locusts or grasshoppers. So in other parts of Southeast Asia and Africa, they have had a tradition of having these large insects that make sense to farm or to harvest, whereas we don't really have them. But as our population grows, you know, we'll have 9 billion people in the world by 2050, and we already have 7 billion with 100 billion people now currently in hunger. The United Nations has really been promoting that we move toward a more insect-based diet.
But is there not a danger we eat too many insects then?
No, not really. A lot of insects we have in excess. For example, locusts are taking over large parts of Africa right now, which is a type of grasshopper. So we could be certainly looking at those kind of insects that we consider pests right now. And actually, by eating them, we kind of create a market for them, which means rather than destroying them all the time, we would actually cultivate them and grow them. And, you know, there is mass farming of insects going on right now in parts of the world. There's really no drawback once you get over the psychological fear. I mean, they're nutritionally better than other animal-based proteins. They're environmentally more friendly and use way less land, and they create livelihoods and development opportunities for places in Africa and Asia, and they contribute to global food security. So it's kind of a win on all fronts.
What did it taste like?
I was pleasantly surprised with some of them. The seasoned varieties, like I had some candied worms. I put a video up on Twitter and Facebook there if you want to have a look. And I quite liked those. And I liked the salt and vinegar crickets. They were quite good. Roasted crickets and roasted worms are fine. I could definitely see putting them in a salad. They have kind of a nutty taste and a nice crunch. But I still feel quite nauseous having eaten a grasshopper, which was just too big and a bit too real for my taste.
Why? Because I suppose a grasshopper kind of looks like a green prawn with longer legs. I mean, is it
that bad? Nice way to put it. Yeah, I psychologically, I just found that it was way too big and I wasn't at all comfortable. Once you taste it, it's fine. It has a crunch and then it kind of dissolves into sort of a powder. So it's fine if you can get over that fear factor of just eating a very large, crunchy insect.
You mentioned like you could put some of them roasted into a salad and they taste a little bit like nuts. I mean, do they taste any better than nuts, though? I mean, should I not just put nuts in my salad?
Well, there are they're a lighter flavor than nuts. You know, they're a lighter substance, so it's more like a crunchier, crispy, like if you sprinkled crisps over something or crackers. I found it quite nice, and I have to say, when I've baked cakes with it, people have said it kind of has an earthy flavor, or a nutty flavor, which is unusual. I could definitely see putting in smoothies. I don't think you would notice. So you're adding a nice source of protein without the fat and the other harmful issues associated with some protein sources. So look, the climate is changing. I feel like it's going to get harder and harder to grow and cultivate food. So I think we do need to be talking about alternative sources of protein.
And on what scale do these insect farms exist?
Well, in parts of Africa and Asia, they're, you know, quite common and widespread. And a lot of insects are actually just harvested from the wild. They're not actually farmed or whatever. But in America now, there is a growing trend toward farming of insects and then freeze drying them. And, you know, you don't need a lot of land to be able to do this. So this is an opportunity, in a sense, for farmers to diversify their income and not have to go out and buy huge amounts of land in order to do that.
Someone has texted in here making the point that a lot of these insects are coming from warmer climates. They have to be transported here. What about the carbon footprint of that?
Yeah, that's the case with everything we eat, from tropical fruits and everything. But if you look at the emissions from transport, I mean, obviously they are a source of emissions as long as our transport is fossil fuel based. But if it's coming in on boats, those emissions are spread over every product that's on the boat. So even things like bananas and tropical fruit are relatively low compared to, say, livestock based meat and dairy that we buy here in Ireland. So still the dominant source of emissions is how things are farmed, not actually how they're transported. Now, if they're flown in, it's a different story. So, fresh food that's flown in is definitely worse for the planet. But things that come in on boats that have a long shelf life, like freeze-dried insects, well, that wouldn't be a big issue.
I'm thinking of some businesses that have appeared here in recent years, like Gaelic Escargot down in Carlow, which is a really successful now snail farm. And it's not on a huge bit of land. You don't need a lot of territory to be able to do this. And I'm conscious there's probably business opportunities here, isn't there, that people could have, a little case or a tank or whatever you have full of mealworms or crickets and freeze dry them and sell them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's definitely becoming more of a market in the United States in particular, where they have the climate for it. But, you know, even in places where they struggle to grow and cultivate crops, like parts of Africa and Asia, this is an opportunity for them too.
People are texting in here to say that you can get dried mealworms already in Ireland, but they're mostly in pet shops. They're in Woodies as well. Are they fit for human consumption, or do you have to treat them in some way so that you and I can eat them, as opposed to, throwing them out for the birds?
Yeah,
outside?
I certainly wouldn't be interested in buying the live ones that you use to feed pets, to eat yourselves. But maybe the freeze dried ones, the mealworms are the same as the mealworms that I bought from a supplier that's dealing in human consumption. Not sure about the crickets. They're very different looking crickets than the ones you would buy from the supplier. So I would stick to the ones that are actually intended for human consumption. They probably have more safety regulations around them. And one thing worth mentioning is that the European Food Safety Authority was particularly concerned about allergic reactions. And so they're saying that anyone that's prone to prawn or dust mite allergies may be prone to allergies from eating insects, and they should be careful about eating insect-based products.
Ali has texted in as well. Given the climate crisis and the animal welfare issues surrounding the intensive production of sentient animals for food, maybe getting over ourselves and looking at other protein sources is a good idea. Kieran, stop acting like this is disgusting. I'm a vet and I've spent time in abattoirs and battery farms. Let me assure you, eating insects isn't actually that bad in comparison. What do you say, though, Cara, to people who are listening who don't agree with Ali and are a little disgusted and think, oh, this all sounds like something you have to do and I'm a celebrity, get me out of here?
Yeah, I'd say try them. You might be pleasantly surprised. You know, it's good to try new things. I'll bring some in for you next time I'm in studio, Kieran, so you can try them yourself.
All right, I'll have to do that. Listen, Cara, before I let you go, we're going to be hearing a lot more of you. You've got a new show and a podcast coming to News Talk. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Down to Earth is back, bigger and better than ever, in a 12-part series that will air every Saturday evening and by podcasts on the News Talk app. So we're looking in-depth about our environment and how we address our planetary limits to growth, and I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, you can catch that, as Cara said, on Saturday evenings. It'll be up on the News Talk app or newstalk.com/podcast as well, Down to Earth with Dr. Cara Augustenberg, environmental scientist.